Today's daf in Masechet Menachot, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Yud Dalet. We're holding at the Halakha Mishnah on daf Yud Gimel Omud Beit. You'll recall that yesterday we opened up our parag by analyzing some details about the nature of a pigel that we never thought about before. So we always just took it very simply. There are four materium, and you can either affect the things on the Mizbeach, or you can affect the things that the person is going to be eating, and then the impact of that effect would be to us or the entire korma. Now we started finding out that actually all three, so far we've only seen two, but all three of those assumptions are not necessarily so. And that actually we have various shitot about what precisely constitutes the nature of a matir, and how much of the matir would need to be brought, and can a matir be matir another matir, such as the kometz that's being matir the mincha, can it also be called a matir for the levina, where the levina, after all, doesn't really need the kometz, as Rabbi Yossi explains, even though both are necessary for the mincha. So can you be mefagel, a matir, with a matir? And, of course, the old question that we had raised back in Zvachim and mentioned earlier in the Shita of Rabbi Elazar, and that is the question of mefaglin b'chatzi matir. Do you need the entire matir, that is to say, both the kometz and the levona, in order to create a state of pigel on whatever is left? Or is it enough just to use one of them, either the levona or the kometz? So we've been talking all along about just kometz until we met Rabbi Elazar, but we do know about that shita. And yesterday we talked about the different levels of, is a matir able to be mefagel a matir? And we understood then that that's not oversimplifying. There are all different types of matirin. There are matirin that are part of a series that are included in the nature of that carbon itself. So when you're talking about a zevach, there you've got one matir, which is the dam, that is matir the emurim, which themselves are matir the basar b'achila, and though the emurim per se cannot create pigel, because only matirin that are ma'akev kapara, remember, are the ones that can create the isurkaris of pigel, and certainly if we don't bring the emurim at all, the carbon would still be kosher after we went ahead and we did this zrikas hadam. Nonetheless, we included it in our discussion of there being no numerous materium. So let's talk about the case that we've had so far. We talked about the Shnei Kvasim, the Kivsei Atzeret, that were being matir, the Shnei Lechem, on Shavuos. We talked about the Shnei Bezichei Levona, where each one of them was necessary in order to be matir, the Lechem Aponim. We talked about the Kometz and the Levona, where each one of them was necessary to be matir the shirayim, and we talked about actually a very, very distant matir that's matir, and that is we have the dam and the emurim, which are matir the basar on a zeva. But despite the fact that those aren't necessarily all matir for pigel, such as the last one, they're still, technically speaking, matir. And therefore, we got into the question of how much you could utilize the machshava of the chutz lizmano to create the din of pigel on those particular cases. So now, let's talk about another element that we took for granted. And that was that once you've got a carbon that was mefugal, then the entire carbon is mefugal. And there's no relationship between the state of pigel in the carbon to the direct machsheves of pigel that asked the carbon. So in other words, if you had in mind that you were going, and we're, in the end, we're going to use this as a proof, actually, if you had in mind that you were going to be zurek the dam b'chutz, that doesn't mean that the basar isn't asr as pigel. The basar of the carbon will also be asr as pigel, even though you never spared a thought to the basar. So how about in cases where you've got two matirim and you've got two separate things that you're being matir? Let's talk about the Shnei Kivsei Atzeret, and there are also Shnei Lecha. And suppose the pigel would have been to eat one of those Kivsei Atzeret at the wrong time. Would both of them be affected? You have the two Bezichei Levona. Your machshava was to be makriv one of those Bezichei Levona at the wrong time. Would both of the Bezichei Levona be affected? And of course, would both of the Siddurim of the Lechem HaPanim be affected if you took only, let's say, the right side bazir in order to eat the right side lechem chutz lizmano? So all of those cases were not even a consideration until now. And suddenly we find that there's a shita of Rabbi Yossi, who we actually explored the shita of Rabbi Yossi about mater cannot be mefagla mater in the first Mishnah. And now in the next Mishnah, we're going to find a further sheet of Rabbi Yossi who holds that not necessarily is the entire carbon affected by the pigol of any part of that carbon. A completely new way of saying things. So we'll start with the Mishnah on Amud Beis, Yud Gimel Amud Beis. Shachat shnei kvasim le'echol echat min achalot l'machar. So here we've got the shnei kivsei atzeret, and we have the two lechem that has to be brought on Atzeret in order to be matir, the new minocha is to be brought from the seles made of chitim, because the omer was matir the seorim, but for the Beis HaMikdash, only the shnei alechem is matir the chitim. So you had a machshava in shechting both kvasim, but only to eat one of the shnei alechem at the wrong time. After Shavuos, tomorrow. Or, let's take the other case of the Lechem HaPanim. You were makter both bezichin to eat one of the Siddurim of the Lechem, Lamochar, but had no intent to do anything to the other Seder, to the other Challah. Rabbi Yossi says that only that very Challah that you were thinking about, eating Chutz Lizmano, and only that very Seder of the Lechem HaPanim that you were thinking about, of eating Chutz Lizmano, only that one otah halav otah seder shechishev alav is pigol v'chayovin alav karet. But the sheni is posel. Now, why would it be posel? I mean, either it is pigol or it's not pigol. Well, we're going to be discussing that in the Gemara, but keep your mind open to recognizing that this is a curious phenomena that needs explanation. Hasheni posel ve'in bo karet, and the chachomim, representing the shita that we've taken for granted all up until now, Omrim, Zev, Zepig over Chayavan of Kares. There's no direct connection between the item that you were thinking about and the thing that becomes Pigol. A carbon becomes Pigol because you had a Makshav on one of the Matirin. And that makes no difference which part of the carbon. It's only Rabbi Yossi who has suddenly decided that there's a marker to say that Pigol, the Makshava, is what affects the actual carbon in claiming that it would be usher, and that any other part of the carbon that wasn't included in the Makshavas Pigol wouldn't be part of the Chiyav Karas of the Pigol. You could see what a totally different approach this would be to the nature of Pigol. Om Ravuna. So Ravuna pointed out that, you know, this idea of the two kvasim being different, it doesn't only extend to the two kvasim. Let's talk about a case where you've got a regular carbon, you know, and you're bringing a carbon that has a right leg and it has a left leg. Well, suppose, according to Rabbi Yossi, suppose you were thinking, I'm going to eat the right leg of this animal, chutz lizmano. Then the left leg would still be kosher, according to Rabbi Yossi. So, pigel b'yerech shel yamin, lo nitpagel ha'yerech shel smol. This seems to be the logical extension of what Rabbi Yossi was saying in the Mishnah. So, what would be the reason for this of relating the two, the machshava, directly to what is aser? Because, essentially, it's the same as having in Kavana to eat only one of the Shtei HaLechem, and only that Shtei HaLechem is Aser. So what's the Svara of Rabbi Yossi, or any other basis? Well, my time up. Well, I could tell you that, look, it's logical to say that any psul of a carbon will only affect the part of the carbon that was exposed to the psul, just logically. Or, if you don't appreciate my logic, I'll show you from a pasuk that seems to be the din in the Torah. See by Imasvara, how could just a virtual psul, and we're talking about virtual psul, that means we're talking about a machsheves chutz lizmano, let's say, how could it be more powerful than an actual psul? So let's say you would be metame one of the legs of this animal after it was already cut up, ready to be brought on the Mizbeach. Would the whole animal become tame? Well, of course not. Then it's not connected any longer. Whatever is touched by Tumah is affected by Tumah. Whatever isn't touched by Tumah isn't affected by Tumah. And that's where you have an actual psul. But suppose all you have is a virtual psul. So, ilu itme chad ever mi itme lekule. So, if one of these detached legs would be tame, would the whole thing be tame? Of course not, only that leg. So, therefore, for sure, it would be the same over here. A virtual pigul, which is a machshavas kosizmano, can't be worse than the actuality of being metame. It could be. If you don't like that svara, then take a look at the pasuk. Mibaytema krop. Legabi pigul, what does it say? V'hanefesh ha'ochelet mimenu avonati sa. But note that mimenu. Ochel mimenu means from that specific thing that the Eyachol Yeachel b'yom ha'shlishi was referring to, but not from another one like it. So if you're going to eat that leg that the Machshavas Pigul was about, that's going to be affected. But if you're going to eat the other leg, it's not going to be affected because that's not mimenu. Eitvei Rav Nachman Ravuna. How could you say that that would be true? That according to Rav Yossi, we would extend it even to two legs of the same animal. I don't think Rav Yossi would ever have said that. Let's take a look at this braita. I'll take out those words for Chachamim Omrim, which is not true. Lo'olam ein bo karet ad shivko b'shteihem b'kizayet. So we're talking about the Shtei HaLechem, and we've got the Kivsei Atzeret. Now, the Kivsei Atzeret, actually, if you are only going to bring one of the Kivsei Atzeret, Shelo Bizmano, then it would be a Chatzi Matir. So here it says, ad shivko b'shteihen b'kizayet. You have to have a Machshavas Pigul about both of what are Shtehen as opposed to Shtehem. What is the feminine Shtehen referring to? The Chala or the Keves? Obviously to the Chala, right? The Chala is feminine. The Kvasim are Lashon Zachar. So, since it says B'Shtehen B'Kizayit, it's only if you had in Kavana to eat both of those loaves of the Shtei HaLechem, then it would be pigul. But if you only had in kavana to eat one of them, then the other one would not be pigul. And this would be true even if you said, I'm going to eat from both of them a kezayit between the two of them. So in other words, if I put them together in my mind and I say, I view these two lechems as being one lechem, and between the two of them, I'm going to be eating one kezayit. Well, that in that case, it would be separate. My machshava would actually make them together. I'm going to see what the basis is for that. But if you want to eat a kezayit from both of them together, both of them are pigul because you didn't separate a kezayit mizeh and a kezayit mizeh. You simply said, I'm going to eat from these two loaves a kezayit. Now, that means only if you were going to eat from both of them. If you're going to eat from one of them, then the other one would not be pigul. So let's establish, first of all, who is this shita? So, money. Can't possibly be the Rabbanan, because the Rabbanan are the ones who say that we don't split pigul up into the parts that the pigul was thinking about. The whole carbon becomes pigul. So once we're raising the issue over here of what you're thinking about, it's got to be Reb Yossi, right? So that's the first piece. Elo pshita Reb Yossi. Now, this means that according to Reb Yossi, if you have a machsheves pigul, even though they're from only a chatzi zayit from each one of these chalot, but you didn't think about the chalot separately in your mind, you looked at those chalot as being together in your mind, then your mind is sufficient to make those two chalot together one object of Pigel. Okay? Now, why would that be true? Well, if that is true, if you're ready to say that something is essentially a single item, and if it's essentially a single item, then your machshava treating it as a single item is sufficient to be mafaga the whole thing, then it works out. And that would mean that if you've got two different legs of the same animal, for sure, your machshava should be sufficient to make them all one item, right? So if you're ready to tell me that something is considered one thing, chad gufahu, so then that would explain why it is that even in the case where we're talking about two literally separate lechems, and nonetheless, your thought about that lechem is sufficient to make them all one thing. But if you're going to tell me that even a single animal, once you cut off one leg and then you cut off the other leg, they're considered to be two separate items, how would you say that you, as your mind, are you're not going to be mitzarif them if even legs that are mamish, they were once and part of the same animal, and nonetheless, in your mind, you can have them separated as two things, and here, basically, you're just putting them together in your brain, so they're not considered to be one thing you're claiming. So then I don't understand how it's possible that two separate pieces of bread is considered to be, two separate chalot. I mean, obviously, if something was physically one and the same, it means that you can actually assume that they're one thing for pigel. Yes, that's true. But this is not Rabbi Yossi. You're assuming that it's Rabbi Yossi. That's because you haven't taken into consideration that there is yet another shita. Rav Huna was not talking about Rebbe. He was talking about Rabbi Yossi. And this braita that says that the two lechems can be combined, that is going according to Rebbe that we're about to speak about, and not Rabbi Yossi. What does Rebbe say? Well, take a look at this braita, the Tanya. You shecht one of the kvasim, of the two kvasim, of the zifchei shalmei tzibur, ashochetet hakeves lechol chatzi zayit michalazu, v'chein chavero lechol chatzi zayit michalazu. Now, we never had a case like this. Think about what's happening. You've got two matirin, and each one of these matirin is only going to be used to have a machsheves pigel on a chatzi zayit. So that means we've got a double problem. We have, first of all, a chatzi matir, and we also have a chatzi shir, that chatzi matir is coming to be matir. Now, what you want to think about is, can you put together the two chatzi matirs over here, the Shrei Kvasim, Kivsei Atzeret, and combine the effect of the pigel of each chatzi matir on a chatzi shir of a chatzi kezayit, put it together as if it was one matir that was being matir a kezayit, right? And this is obviously a much more complex question than we've entertained until now. So let's take a look at the machlokas here. So you rejected one of the kvasim to eat a chatzi zayit of chala A, and then you shechted the second of the kivsei atzeret to eat a chatzi zayit from chala B. So Rebbe says, well, I say a case like this would be kosher. So what do you mean when you say a case like this? What's special about a case like this? Special is that you've got a double problem. Taima di Amar, chetzi, chetzi. Each of them were separate. But suppose you would have said, I'm going to eat between these two kvasim, I'm going to eat one kezayit between both of these lechems. And that means in my mind, I put the lechem together as if they're one. I don't separate them out and say a half from this and a half from that. I say, I'm going to take them and I'm going to eat one of them. that would one, that is to say, one can say it out of both of them together. So since Rebbe holds that you can turn something into pigel, if you were thinking about the two loaves over here as if they're one, so kosher cane, according to Rebbe, you would say that the other braita that we were talking about is also referring to pigel, and that it's not going to be affecting both of these chalot, unless you had a kavana for both of the chalot, that would be Rebbe, not Rebbe Yossi. Therefore, you can't ask on Rav Huna who was talking about Rebbe Yossi. Well, just one second here. Who is Rebbe going according to? I mean, as far as the issue about the pigel, where it was one of the lecha. I mean, if he's going according to the Rabbanan, what does he care if it's one lechem or if it's two lechems? Remember, according to the Rabbanan, any part of a carbon that becomes pigel, the entire carbon becomes pigel. So, according to the Rabbanan, if one of the lechems of the shtei lechem becomes pigel, the whole thing is pigel. And if it's going according to Rabbi Yossi, then we're back where we started from. Because this issue that Rebbe is adding over here is adding a completely different dimension. But there's still only two fundamental questions about the way that pigel affects the carbon. Either it affects the whole carbon like the Rabbanan, or it affects only the part that it's dealing with, which is Rebbe Yossi. Now, all that Rebbe is doing is adding an additional layer of complexity, which is that if you have parts of the carbon that are physically isolated, can you turn them with your machshava into being a machshava's pigel on one thing? He's not talking about anything else. So if you've proven to me that Rebbe is going according to Rebbe Yossi, then that would be saying that Rebbe holds that according to Rebbe Yossi, a machshava's pigel legabe one thing, if Rav Huna was right, which is one thing that was physically once, a whole animal, the Yerach Yamin versus the Yerach Smol, then how could Rebbe say that even if you have two separate lechems, the fact that you think about it, as Pigel puts it together, if according to Rav Huna, that would be not true about the two lechems, or then how is it that when it comes to the two lechems, you can make it Pigel? So anyway, we're back to our question. Rav Huna does not make sense. Rav Huna, who claims that according to Rav Yossi, that even two separate legs of the same animal, not only the two separate animals of the Kivsi Atzeret, but that even two separate legs of the same animal that have been now prepared for Hakrovan and Mizbeach, one does not mefago the other, obviously is not going to hold that you're able to combine the two lechems if you can't even combine the two legs. Answers the Gemara, actually, we need to correct the gender here. You read it wrong. It's going according to the Rabbanan. What? The Rabbanan say that even if part of a carbon is possible, the whole thing is possible. So how could it possibly be going according to the Rabbanan that it has to be both of the chalos? Oh, the chalos are also. Well, it wasn't talking about the chalos. You have to change the word shtehen and change it into shnehem, meaning that the kavana was on both of the kvasim, not on both of the chalot. The kvasim is masculine. And the problem over here is a totally different problem. If you only were thinking about one of the kvasim, then what problem are you getting into? Chatzi matir. Because each one of these kvasim is only half of the matir that's necessary in order to be able to be matir the shtei alechem for achila. That's a totally different issue. Forget everything we've been talking about. If this braita is saying you've got to have in kavana that both of the kvasim, not both of the chalot, both of the kvasim are part of the same matir and you're going to eat when you did the avoda on both of them, as far as the lechem is concerned, I don't care. Because it's going according to Rabbanan. Any part of a carbon that's pigled, the whole thing is pigled. But do you need both matirin? Ah, that's what it should say over here. Achi efagel bishneihem for both kvasim. But, actually, even one of the lechems, be'achat, female, mehen, female, one of the two lechems, That, of course, would be Pigo, because we're going according to the Rambanan. So, who is it going? So, this is the machlokas that we talked about all along between the Chachamim and Rebbe Meir. According to Rebbe Meir, he holds your mefaglim b'chatzimatir. And what the Rabbanan here want to make very clear, we disagree with Rebbe Meir. And you cannot be mefagel, which is one of those kvasim, because you need both of the kvasim in order to be matir the lechem. So it's lafukim Rebbe Meir, the omar mefaglim b'chatzimatir, and therefore the Braita is focusing on that question. Kamash malon dalo. You cannot be mefaga b'chatzi matir, and that's the whole focus, which has zero to do with our sugya. Well, that's pretty smart, says the Gemara, but it's not true. Because if that's really the pshat over here, explain to me one other little word. La'olam eno pigol. It'll never, ever be pigol. What's this never, ever? I mean, just tell me. It's not pigol. Ach yifago b'shneyan. What are you talking about? It'll never, ever be pigol. I mean, what are we talking about in such hyperbole, for heaven's sakes? So if the word la'olam means something, namely, I don't give a hang whether it's b'shneyan or b'shneyhem. Both of them are the same. So if you'll tell me, yes, the Braita means that you've got to have both true, mefaglim with the entire matir, and you have to be mefagel on the entire carbon. Oh, and then it would only be going according to Rabbi Yossi here, and then it would be coming both to say Rabbi Meir is wrong when he said mefaglim b'chatzi matir, and the Rabbanan are wrong when they say that any part of the carbon affects the other part. Now you can use never le'olam. So that comes to teach me, don't start playing games with the boys and the girls here. Shneihem, shteihem, both of them are exactly the same. That would explain Hainu Dekamar La'olam. But if you're going to tell me it's going only to tell me that Rabbi Meir is wrong and it's going to Rabbanan, then just say it's not Pigo because Ein Mefaglim B'chatzi Matir. I mean, what's this La'olam? That's my first problem with the way that you're reading it, okay? Which would mean that still Rav Huna's approach doesn't make sense. And furthermore, I don't like Rav Huna's approach, says Rav Ashi, because of something else. The Adama Rav Ashi, Rebbe Omer Mishum Rebbe Yossi. This is a very strange way of reading, but anyway, some of the Achronim talk about it. It's not the derech for Rav Ashi to be the source of the Tashma, but whatever. Rebbe Omer Mishum Rebbe Yossi, that here's Rebbe saying in the name of Rebbe Yossi, which is what's important to us, because we don't, this fact that it says Rebbe here might even be a mistake, but what's important to us is what Rebbe Yossi says. This was another issue that we had back in Zvochim. And the question is, since the din of Pigol applies to Shlomim. Shlomim is the model for all Pigol, right? Now, when it comes to the din of the Par Kohen Mashiach, so it says over there, the Lashon of what do you bring? Kasher Karav Mishor Zevach HaShlomim. So we know that that's true anyway because of the Hekesh of the Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibur to the Par Kohen Mashiach. So the question is, why did we need to state again, Shor Zevach HaShlomim. So Gemara over there said that the Shor Zevach HaShlomim comes to teach me that only things like the Shlomim, so what's like the Shlomim? Things that are brought on the Mizbeach HaChitzon, like the Shlomim. But if you try to create Pigol on something that's brought only on the Mizbeach HaPnimi, then you're not going to be able to create Pigol. So that's the basis of this following bright. Pigel b'dover anase b'chutz, then it's pigel. Pigel b'dover anase b'fnim, lo pigel. So what do we mean by that? Ketzad. Now let's say somebody's standing outside of the Heichal, he's in the Azara, and he says, I am shechting this par in order to be mazeh its dam, and its dam has to be brought in the Heichal, because we're talking about a par kohen Mashiach. In order to bring its dam tomorrow, lo pigel, because the machshava even though you're standing b'chutz and you're doing something b'chutz, namely the shechita, but the machshava was about something that's done b'fnim. So this is a machshava b'chutz in the shechita b'dover anase b'fnim on the zrika, which has to be done inside the hechal. Or, let's say, you were standing inside the hechal, and you say, I am doing this hazoyas hadam in order to be maktir the emurim of this power of the Kohen Mashiach tomorrow. And of course, that is supposed to be done on the Mizbeach HaChitzon. But that's also not going to be creating a pigel. Or suppose you say, oh, I'm going to be shofech shirayim tomorrow on the Mizbeach HaChitzon. Also lo pigel. Why? Because this is a machshava bifnim, even though you're doing it at the time of the hazaya that is inside of the echo, about something that needs to be done b'chutz, namely the haktaras emurim or the shvicha shirayim. Only in a case where you were standing outside and you say, I am shechting this power of the Kohen Mashiach in order to be shofech the shirayim, which belong on the Mizbeach HaChitzon at the wrong time tomorrow, or to be Makter de Emurim, which is done on the Mizbeach HaChitzon at the wrong time tomorrow, then it's Pigel. Why? Because it was a Machshava B'chutz on a Dover Anase B'chutz. So you were having the Machshava on the Shechita, which is something done B'chutz, on something that has to be brought B'chutz, either the Emurim or the Shvicha Shirai. Fine. So now, whatever it is, this is Rabbi Yossi saying that according to Rabbi Yossi, a machshava to pour the shirayim is a proper pigel. Now, I want to ask you a simple question. When you pour out the shirayim, what are you being mefago? You're telling me I raise a pigel. What? Tell me what thing you're going to eat that's pigel. Lishpoch shirayim, leave gulei mine. So what part of the korban is going to be pigel? Is it the dam that's going to be pigel? No, because remember one of the basic rules that we had all the way at the beginning of Zvachim, we learned that a matir can never become pigel. Dam mi mifagel? You cannot be mifagel the dam, but none. Elu devarim she'ein chayavin aleihem mishum pigel. It's only if something has a matir, but if something is a matir, you can't make it pigel. And it lists in that Mishnah in Zvachim every last thing that does not have a matir. So a komets, komets itself is the matir. A levona, levona itself is the matir. Now then, the part about the levona is not so poshut, whether it should say levona, because there are the shita that you could be, we just had. So that is not quite 100% in the years, huh? The aktoret, there's nothing that you bring to be mantra. The aktoret is simply brought. A mincha of a kohen, where there's no komets, because the whole minchas kohen is brought. Minchas nisochim that are brought together with korbanos, there's no komets. Mincha of the kohen mashiach, which is the chavitim, and the dam of any korban, are not shayach ein chayom alei mishum pigo. So therefore, obviously, it can't be referring to being mefagel the dam. So what is it referring to? It's got to be a machshava to be mefagel the basar of this korban. Now, explain to me how Rav Huna can get away thinking that you can actually turn the basar of the korban into pigel when all you were thinking about was bringing the shirayim of the dam. I mean, I thought, according to Rabbi Yossi, even one leg is not going to be befadr on another leg. So how the heck could the dam of the shirayim be mefagel the basar of the korban? And nonetheless, Rabbi Yossi says, doesn't matter. Once part of the korban is pigel, the whole korban is pigel. So over here, we had a kavona for the right leg. He's going to tell me the left leg is not included? That's crazy. Lokoshikin, the pigel b'yerech yamin was b'fagel b'yerech small. So I don't know what Rav Huna is talking about. Obviously, Rav Yossi would never have said that if Rav Yossi himself said you can be b'fagel with the dam on the buser. And furthermore, Ravina pointed out, take a look at the classic Mishnah And that is the Mishnah that we just had at the beginning of the parak. Hakol meitzet amincha lechol shiareha olahaktir kumtza lemachar. Moda Rabbi Yossi bezusha pigel v'chayomen olav chorus. Now, so Rabbi Yossi is moda, but even though it's a chatzimatir, you answered the mincha. Thank you very much. What did you answer in the mincha? Will you tell me, please? Exactly what? Lahakta kumtza, in order to be befaga, what? Remember how many different parts there are at the pigel. There's the machshava of what you're doing. That's the either chutzisman or chutzimakoma. There's the matir that you're doing it with, which is either the shchita or the kabbalah or the halacha or the zrika, or in this case, either the kmitza or the nesina bekli or the halacha or the actual haktara of the komets. And then there is the object that you're going to be doing it to. Are you going to be eating the meat? Are you going to be eating the shirayim? Are you going to be doing a zrika? Are you going to be putting the kermits in the wrong time? And then there's the fourth item, which is what we're focused on now, and that is which of the parts of the mincha are you going to be high of this chorus on if you eat the pigo? Always keep those four things completely separate because they have nothing to do with each other. And yet, Rabbi Yossi says, tell me what it is that you made it pigo. Which part of the korban is going to be pigo? Is it going to be the komets? And if you eat any of the pigo of the komets, you're going to be chayiv. You cannot make a komets pigo because the komets has no matir. The komets is the matir, and therefore there's no way for it to be pigo. Remember, I just read the Mishnah to you just like 3 minutes ago. Hope you didn't forget it. It says, Eilu dvarim she'en chayovin la'mishum pigel, etc., etc., etc. Hope you remember that one of the first things is hakomets, okay? So, obviously, Rabbi Yossi is talking about being mefagel, the shirayim of the mincha, by thinking about something entirely different. So how can you do that? If over there you never even thought 1 second about the shirai, your entire intent is what you're going to do with the comments. So hashto ma'asim b'lo chashu b'shirayim gufa at all. Nonetheless, the entire shirayim, according to Rabbi Yossi, I mean, it's our opening Mishnah, for God's sake, he says it becomes pigo. So here you're trying to tell me that Rabbi Yossi, that same Rabbi Yossi, who says that the shirayim become puzzle because of your thoughts about doing something pigo with the comments, even though you never even thought about the shirayim. But over here, we've got one leg of the same animal, and you did think about that leg, it doesn't affect the other leg. I mean, that's ridiculous. Loko shike? So therefore, it's dafka when we were talking about, in the case of the shtei alechem, that's a unique situation because we've got the two separate animals. But over here, we've got the same animal. Now you're going to split it up in the right leg and the left leg. That's like splitting up the mincha between its shirayim and the komets. And he obviously doesn't agree with it. So the only thing he was talking about is specifically those things that were the shtei alechem, and the shtei alechem, the Torah treats them as two completely different things, as Rabbi Yochanan is about to explain to us. It's all based on the pasuk. Ela Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Just forget about Rav Huna, will you? It's all completely wrong. His svaras and all of that's all wrong. Basically, you know what Rabbi Yossi is saying? I know time at Rabbi Yossi. The Torah has two different ways of referring to the shtei alechem. On the one hand, the Torah calls the shtei alechem one thing, hakatuv asa'am guf echad, and on the other hand, hakatuv asa'am shnei gufim. The Torah insists on viewing them in two completely different ways. Why? Because look at the pasuk, mimoshvotechem taviu lechem tenufa shtayim Shnei Esronim. What's the Shtayim? Shnei Esronim. So that So Shtayim tells me the korban consists of both together. But since it says Tihiena, it means, remember, Shtayim always means, Tihiena always means Behavayato. It's one of those existential terms. So then that means if you would bring only one of them, it's obviously possible because it's supposed to be Tiena. So then that means you need both. So in that sense, each one is ma'akev. If you don't have both, you don't have anything. On the other hand, they have to be kept separate and be processed separately. You have to make them separately. So therefore, how do you explain if you need to make separate soled, make separate dough, make separate chalot, and then in that sense, they're totally separate, and that's what defines them. And on the other hand, they must be together in terms of the ikuva. Well, what does that mean? So on the one hand, the guf echad, because ma'akve adade. That pasuk shtayim means you need both, you got nothing. On the other hand, the shnei gufim, the yom rachmana, halachuda avida, halachuda avida. On the other hand, the Torah is insisting, process each one of these lechems separately. Therefore, what it does, according to Rabbi Yossi, is that it opens the matter up to your consciousness. How do you treat it? Are you going to be setting it up as if it's one thing, or setting it up as it's the other thing? So this is classic Schrodinger's cat. It's basically the question of how you go about measuring it. So therefore, if you are Arvinu, if you, in your mind, you want to eat between the two of them. You want to eat the kizayit between the two. So then the pigo is good enough between the two because of the fact that the Torah says these two can be one under the proper circumstances of kavana. Because hakatuv asa onguf echad. On the other hand, if you talk about, I only want to eat from one of them, chutz v'zmano, well, then the Torah went out of its way to make them separate. That's where Rabbi Yossi says that you make things separate, because the Torah gave you two different ways of looking at them. But we don't always have this exact concept of everything being dependent and how it is that your mind was part of them. It's only when the Torah tells you that, well, this could be either a particle or a wave. It basically depends on you, but that doesn't mean you can turn your Shabbos challahs into particles or waves, does it? So that's exactly what Rav Yossi is saying, and nothing to do with what Rav Huna was talking about, a general idea that even things that are part and parcel of one animal are actually two animals. Please, come off it. Now, I have a different question, according to, says Rav Yochanan. How about when it comes to the Lachmei Todah, okay? So if you had in Kavana, you've got four different types of Lachmei Todah. So now suppose you had in mind one of those types. What would Rabbi Yossi hold about that? Because over there you also have to make each one of those different types. Or does Rabbi Yossi hold, yes, but they only have one matir? I mean, you can't separate them out as if there were two kvasim and two matirim. Would that make any difference? I mean, there's one matir to four different types of chalas. Are you able to separate with your mind the machshavas pigo? And let's say if you only had the kavana for the lechem that was chometz, you know, so that would be the thing that's aser. But none of the matzah would be aser. If you only had in kavana the revuchim, so then the others would be kosher. Or what about a minchas ma'afet tanur, where you have two completely different types? And we're going to see later on that, according to Rabbi Shimon, interestingly enough, a minchas ma'afet tanur can be half rikikin and half chalas. So what if you would bring five rikikin, five chalas, and you had in mind only to eat the rikikin, chutz v'zmano? According to Rabbi Yossi, would that also be considered to be the equivalent of the different type of things like the shnei halechem? Tana le'rif tachlifa mima'arava. Rav Yochanan didn't know this brayta, which was taught to him by Rav Tachlifa, who came from Eretz Yisrael, that v'chein ata omer b'lachmei todah, v'chein ata omer b'minchat ba'afei tanur, that when it says in the Mishnah about the shnei halechem and the shnei hakvasim, would apply equally to different types of lechem that would be brought either for the todah or for the minchas ba'afei tanur. So actually, that, of course, directly answers Rabbi Yochanan's question. So now we understand Rabbi Yossi as referring specifically to a case where there are different types of things that the Torah viewed as being separate. And all of the issues that we spoke about before, that does not really apply, because none of it was really true. Tana Rabbanan. B'sha'at shechishev, b'sha'at shechitah chishev, l'chol chatzi zayis. So here's something that touches on some of these issues. You were doing the shechita, and at the time of the shechita, you had in kavana to eat only a chatzi zayit for tzizmama. Now you're doing the zrika of that same animal. And b'shat zrika, you have in kavana to eat another chatzi zayit. So, it says in the Braita that since together between the shechita and the zrika, there was a machsheva of pigel on a full shear of kezayit, then the whole thing would become pigel. Why? Because two different materim can still add up to one pigel. Because it's not the act that has to be the pigel, that is to say, the act of the shechita or the act of the zrika. It's the pigel that has to be pigel. So basically, it's the question of the virtual act that never really happens. I'm going to be eating it chutz lizman. Okay, so if you have two virtual machshavas, since anyway, the time never happens. The time is a virtual time in which your brain has placed it. What's the difference at what time you create the virtual time? If you're going to be traveling to 1893, what's the difference if you travel to 1893 from 1985 or from 2025? You get to the same 1893. So therefore, why wouldn't the Shechita or the Zrika, one is Kenega 1995 and one is Kenega 2025, and they're both going to be affecting the same Pigel in 1893. So why not? You can be actually put together your two different machshavas. You see how beautifully all of the issues get spread out over here. It's just a pleasure to see what, man, what it takes to create this Seder in the Gemara is the different levels of complexity, the way each thing ties into the other. It's really mind-boggling. Now, some say Shechita and Zrika is what was mentioned over here. Are they just examples? Or was it only Shechita and Zrika? So some say Shechita and Zrika, both of them are actually materi. I need them. So therefore, whatever I do with them is considered to be affecting the same time. But Kabbalah, I don't need the Kabbalah because in the sense that the Kabbalah is not really going to create the Kapora. And therefore, the Kabbalah and the Holacha, I mean, they are not the things that I view as being themselves Matirin. They are Hachonas for the Matir. The Matir is actually the Zrika. And therefore, I may need them. And like we said, a Matir does not necessarily mean that it's going to be the thing that creates the kapora. So we saw that, and we talked about the Emurim being Matir de Basar, and the difference of the Gavei Pigel. So maybe Shechita v'Zrika was Davka, and some say no. They were trying to say, even if you've got two very far apart things, the Shechita is the first thing, and the Zrika is the last thing. So that's like trying to combine 1995 with 2025. Yeah, that I may think is, wow, it's so far away. It doesn't matter. But Kol Shekein, the ones that are closer to each other, what, you want to have a Machsheva Spiegel in 2007 and put that together with 2008? That's like having a Kavana of Pigel with things that are right next to each other, the Shechita and the Kabbalah, let's say, right? So some say that way. But wait a minute. Is it really true that you can combine two different Avedas for one Pigel? Any? What about Levi? Levi said in a Braita, Arba Avodot ein mitstarfos v'pigel. The four classic Avedas, Shechita, Zrika, Kabbalah, V'Halacha, you cannot combine a Chatzi Kezayit of one with a Chatzi Kezayit on the other. Don't explain that. Well, my Rava, what's the problem? This Braita that Levi is saying is going according to Rebbe, who indeed holds you can't be combine it, that you can't be mitzarefet. Whereas Rabbanan, According to Rabbanan, the first Braita, that was going to leave the Rabbanan, who say that any Avoda which is virtual can be put together. I'll show you the Machlokas, the Tanya. Hashochet et haKeves. See, now you have your first Zivche Shal Metzibor. You take your first Keves, and you have in mind to eat a Chatzi Zayit from Chala number one of the Shtei Alechem. And then you shecht Keves number two to eat Chala number two. Now, what's the din over there? Rebbe says, well, I say in that case, it's kosher. So we see, according to Rebbe, you don't combine with two separate acts of pigel, you don't combine a full kezias. So we see, according to him, that there's no combinations, it has to be done at one time. So if that's the case, then Levi was simply saying, according to Rebbe, none of the four matirin would be mitzuraf because they're not being done at the same time. Bashen came the first braita. That's going according to the Rabbanan, who argue on Rebbe over here, and they say that you can combine both chatzisayas to make pigo. Amalei, if I excuse me, yeah, this is completely wrong. All that Rebbe said over here is where you have a complicated case where you only used half of the matir for half of the zayit. And then you use the other half of the matir. Remember, each one of those kvasim is a chatzi matir. Now, the fact that you can't combine a chatzi matir with a chatzi zayit of that matir and a chatzi matir with a chatzi zayit of that matir doesn't tell me a darn thing about whether I can combine the entire matir of the shlita with the entire matir of the zrika. On the contrary, Rebbe was only talking about, he said, that case, that's a crazy case. Emor de Shamek or the Rebbe, Chatzi Matir and a Chatzi Achila of that Chatzi Matir. But where did Rebbe ever say that if you did the Kulay Matir, which is your case over here, there's only one Shechita on a regular Korban, Kulay Matir and Chatzi Achila. So now you did the whole Shechita, the whole Matir for a half a Zayat of Achila. And you did the whole Zerika, the whole Matir, for a Chatzi Zerika. Maybe that's fine. Maybe Rebbe would agree with that. So how do we explain the Braita of Levi? Where do we see a Shita like that, that you cannot combine any of the Avodas? Homele Rava Baruch Chanan La'abayi. If it's true, what you're saying, now this is a fascinating question that brings in an issue from the outside that needs to be accounted for, and it's something that we've pointed out from the beginning. Why is it that in the cases that we've had where it says that the pigel is in chal, it says it's usser, but ain bo karis? Why is it usser then? If it's pigel, it's karis. And if it's not pigel, it's mutter. And we were wondering why it's usser. Now, we arrive at precisely, but of course, as usual, it's through the chakra vataria coming around from the back, we arrive at the same issue that bothered us from the beginning. Omele Rava Baruch Chanan La'abaye, listen, what you're saying makes sense, but it's a problem. Because if, according to you, Rebbe actually would say that if you have the whole matir and only a chatzi achila, it would create pigel, then why did Rebbe say, if it's a chatzi matir and a chatzi achila, that it's kosher? He should say that it's possible, because he should make a gezeira that if I'm going to allow a chatzi matir with a chatzi achila, then someone would think that a chatzi matir with a whole achila might actually ligzer chatzi matir v'chatzi achila, or to kula matir v'chatzi achila, which is actually going to be mitzuraf. And why does he say it's completely kosher, and that you can go ahead and eat the carbon? And I'll prove to you that that is essential, because everybody else, whether it was Rabbi Yossi or the Rabbana, in the case, which according to them wasn't pigo, they still said it's usser, but ain bo karetz. Where did that usser come from? Obviously, it's a gezeira. There's no case where the Torah said it's usser. The Torah either said it's pigel or it's not pigel, right? Now, why was Rabbi Yossi take a look at the Mishnah. Someone does kmitza on a mincha to be marked to the levena. Rabbi Yossi says, posel vein bokores, because why? Ein matir matir is a matir. Well, so why is it usher? V'chachomim lo mipigo, of course. So obviously he made a gezerah. Now take a look at the Rabbanan. We learn in the Mishnah a little bit later that somebody was mefagel on the Kometz and not on the Levana, and not the Kometz. So that's the machlokas about whether you're mefagel b'chatzimater. So Rabbi Meir says it's pigel because you're mefagel b'chatzimater and you're chayav kares. And the Rabbanan say, they don't say it's kosher, they say it's posel, but you're not chayav kares. Well, why is it posel? What do you mean, ein bo karet? Why don't they say it's completely kosher? So it's got to be because everybody who is going to be matir, one of these off-the-case dinim, is still going to worry that it won't be clear to the public why it is that he said it's kosher, and therefore they could easily extend it, making a mistake. So therefore, Reb Yossi wanted to make sure that, look, I mean, it's not going to be that way in the event that it would actually be the case where it would be. It's only because of the fact that it's because a matir is not going to be mefagel omatir. Omarle, the answer that Abaya offers is brilliant. Omarle, well, what kind of comparison is there? There's no comparison. Of course, Reb Yossi has to make a gezerah. And of course, the Rabbanan have to make a gezerah. Because it's very easy for there to be a case that you're going to screw up on if you take his halacha as being completely kosher. Look, Alchi Hasht, Bishlamo Hasam, Yossi was gozer, a kometz that you did in order to eat from the Levona, because what if somebody misunderstands it and he thinks that if you do a machshava to bring the kometz of the mincha itself, the next day it would also be kosher. So he says it's not kosher because he could be over on an issur kares. The Rabbanan also, they're nervous that if there's a minchas chote, and a minchas chote doesn't have any lavona, right? So if I'm going to allow the kashrus of a mincha where you had in kavana only on the kometz and not on the lavona, people will think kometz does not create pigel. But kometz alone by minchas chote does create pigel. And an amoretz who doesn't know the difference is going to think, well, last time we did a kometz shelo lishma for chutz lizmano, it didn't make a problem. They said we could go right ahead and eat it. So they'll think the same thing is true of minchas chote. Nonsense. It's a chi of kares if somebody would do that. So because of that, it makes perfectly good sense of, I mean, it's not, it may not be a chi of kares. But it's certainly not going to be mutter, and the Rabbanan would also have to be gozer, the Lavona alone, because what about if you were doing a pigel on Lavona where there's no kometz? Lavona without kometz? Yes, remember the lechem aponim, for heaven's sakes. So what if you would have a machshava just on the Lavona, and someone would say, oh, last year somebody had a machshava on the Lavona of his mincha, and they paskened in the Besdin that it's kosher, so don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. It's absolutely the whole matir in the case of the shtei alech, in the case of the lechem aponim, right? And therefore, when it comes to that other Mishnah, in the case of the shnei kvasim, where the Rabbanan said that just because you had a kavana of one of them doesn't mean that you were going to passel it be pigo because ein mefagel b'chatzimatir, but that doesn't mean we're going to say it's mutter because we're worried about a case that if you went ahead during the aveda of both of them, they'll say, well, last time it wasn't important that we had a kavana about the keves. That's because it was only one of the kvasim. What about if it's the both of the kvasim? Or about the lechem aponim. What about if there's one bezich, they're going to say it's kosher because it's only chatzimatir, and someone will say it's kosher because it's only lavona. And even if you had both of the bezich in your mind, so obviously the rabbana needed to make a gzeira in this case. But tell me, darling, just tell me. I'd love for you to explain why Rabbi Yossi would have to make a gzeira because someone might think, yes, go ahead. Go ahead. I dare you. Someone might think what? There's not another case in hell that you could find a chatzimater and a chatziachila. And therefore, Where are we going to get another case of a chatzi matir and a chatzi achila that we should make a gezerah that maybe you will make a mistake? Over here we've got shnei matirim that the Torah specifically called two separate things. And therefore, we don't have any case that would be similar to that, because we don't have a case where one thing is a matir for the entire thing of something else, and the other thing is a matir for the entire thing. It's only where we're going to be making a gezerah. So why make a gezerah? And achi nami mistavra. This is very reasonable, that the only reason that the Rabbanan said that it's puzzle, even though there's no chorus, which ought to mean that it's not puzzle at all, actually, the limit of Abaya makes perfectly good sense. Because, as I point out, says Abaya, I'm in Mistavra, that the whole point is Mishum Achi, it's because I need to worry about a similar case. And this is such a beautiful diuk. At the end of the Mishnah, it says, Modim Chachomim L'Rabbi Meir, B'minchas Chote, U'B'minchas Kanoz, where there is no Levona, that if he was Mefago with the Kometz, that it's Pigo, and Chayovin Al-Akores, because the Kometz is the only Mater. I mean, for heaven's sakes. Any two-year-old knows that, that the whole problem was Ein Mefago B'chatzi Mater, and if there is no other Mater, why the heck would anybody think such a stupid thing? I'll tell you why the Mishnah said it. Because the Mishnah wants to make it clear to you. Why say such a stupid thing? There is no other matir, so of course they're going to be moda. Elalav. The point in the Mishnah is to say that the only reason that we say that it's puzzle, even though it has no chorus, is because of this ridiculous case. That in the case where someone might make the mistake where there's even only one matir, like by Minchas Kanaut or by Minchas Chote, that's why I mentioned it to you. Since that case they would be made at, that's why they said it's puzzle, even though Ein Bo Chorus. Is that beautiful, Diak? There's no possible explanation for the Mishnah talking such two-year-old stuff if it isn't actually explaining the very sfora for the entire halacha. Now, wasn't that fun? How come nobody's smiling? Okay, Rabbosai.